Welcome to Workplace English Pod, a great way to improve your English on the go. Workplace English Pod is brought to you by Workplace English Training e-Platform, the Internet's largest business English resource for learners and teachers of business English. You can subscribe to Workplace English Training e-Platform at www.workplace-english-training.com and get access to podcast transcripts, study notes, interactive exercises, and thousands of additional resources in the training center. Small talk. Discussing routine and recent past. Small talk is important because it helps to break the ice. Learn to engage in small talk at job interviews, sales meetings, or other business meetings and encounters. If it doesn't come naturally to you, take a few minutes beforehand to think of a few topics. You can always talk about the weather. You can ask about a friend, colleague, or acquaintance you both know. You can ask someone how long they have lived in the area. Just find something to talk about other than business. In this podcast lesson, we'll listen in on two social / business encounters. The language in both is quite informal, as you might expect in these situations. You're now going to hear a conversation between Mark and his boss, Ms. Davis. Mark is late for work again, and his boss isn't happy with him. Mark is able to use small talk and a bit of humor to soften a difficult situation.
I wish that you weren't always late, Mark.
I'm sorry, but in the mornings I go to the gym and sometimes I miss the bus.
I think it's best if you call me when you miss the bus.
Yes, you're right. I usually do try to call you, but often I can't find change and I never turn on my mobile phone until after 11:30.
I see. Well, Mark, I must say that I worry about you and whether you're up for this job.
I promise, Miss Davis, I'm up for this job.
Well, perhaps you should go to the gym in the evenings.
But in the evenings, I take a Spanish class. In fact, I wonder if I could leave early tonight.
In this dialogue, you heard Mark talking about his morning routine as a way of explaining why he's often late for work. Ms. Davis doesn't greet Mark in a friendly way, as she's annoyed that he's late for work again. She says,
I wish that you weren't always late, Mark.
We use the phrase, I wish that you weren't, to refer to a past situation that we aren't happy about, but that is unlikely to change. That can be omitted from the phrase. Note also that the main verb is always in the past tense. Let's practice using this phrase structure now. Repeat these sentences after me. I wish you would take more care with your work, Joe. I wish that Jack wasn't so bossy. I wish that Kate was my secretary. I wish you could join us for dinner tonight. So in all these situations, you want something to happen, but it's unlikely that it will happen. Mark responds,
I'm sorry, but in the mornings I go to the gym and sometimes I miss the bus.
Mark apologizes by saying, I'm sorry, but... We use this phrase particularly when giving excuses or reasons for your apology. Let's practice apologizing and giving excuses. Listen to these sentences and repeat them after me. I'm sorry, but I got stuck in traffic. I'm sorry, but my alarm clock didn't go off. I'm sorry, but my car wouldn't start. When giving his excuse, Mark says, In the mornings I go to the gym and sometimes miss the bus. Mark describes two activities that happen routinely, going to the gym and missing the bus. We use the present simple tense to talk about activities that happen regularly or on a routine basis. So he says, I go to the gym, and I sometimes miss the bus.
It's common to indicate how often you do something using phrases like 3 times a week, every morning, every Monday and Friday, etc., or adverbs of frequency, like often, always, and never. Here are some examples of statements describing routine activities. Repeat these sentences after me. I play tennis 2 times a week. I have coffee in Starbucks every morning. I attend an English class every Tuesday and Thursday evenings. I sometimes go to the gym. I never take any exercise. I always take my wife out for dinner on Saturdays. Make a note of Mark's routine activities in his next response.
Yes, you're right. I usually do try to call you, but often I can't find change and I never turn on my mobile phone until after 11:30.
He uses 3 adverbs of frequency here: usually, often, and never. We usually place the adverb before the main verb, as in these sentences. I usually do try to call you. And I never turn on my mobile phone. Sometimes, however, we place the adverb at the start or end of the sentence for emphasis or simply to make the language sound more interesting. Mark says, "Often I can't find the change." Let's practice putting adverbs in different positions in the sentence. Repeat these sentences after me. I usually drive to work. Usually I drive to work. I drive to work usually. I sometimes do overtime. Sometimes I do overtime. I do overtime sometimes. Let's hear their next exchange.
I see. Well, Mark, I must say that I worry about you and whether you're up for this job.
I promise, Miss Davis, I'm up for this job. As a learner of English, you probably find the phrase, "I must say that," a little strange. Miss Davis could have said, "Well, Mark, I worry about you." But instead, she says, "Well, Mark, I must say that I worry about you." The purpose of including the phrase, "I must say that," is to emphasize what comes next. It makes the statement more personal, like it's something that you really mean and is important to you. Notice how the emphasis changes in these sentences. I'm not happy with your performance, William. I must say that I'm not happy with your performance, William. I can't understand you at times. I must say that I can't understand you at times. Ms. Davis is worried about whether Mark is up for his job. If you are up for something, you are keen, willing, and excited to do it. So Ms. Davis is worried that Mark may not really be interested in his job, and that's why he's coming to work late. Mark assures her that he is up for the job, however. Let's hear their final exchange.
Well, perhaps you should go to the gym in the evenings.
But in the evenings, I take a Spanish class. In fact, I wonder if I could leave early tonight.
Here, Ms. Davis gives Mark some advice. Note that she chooses her words carefully and is not too direct when giving the advice. She says, "Perhaps you should go to the gym in the evenings." When giving advice to someone, even when a boss gives advice to a subordinate, we tend to use polite language. We are not usually too direct. For example, it is unlikely that Ms. Davis would say, "Go to the gym in the evenings." This is more like a command than advice. It might cause offense to be so direct.
So the phrase, perhaps you should, or perhaps you shouldn't, is very useful when giving polite, neutral advice. Note that the verb following should is the infinitive without to. Let's practice. Listen and repeat these sentences after me. Perhaps you should ask Robert for some help. Perhaps you should try to avoid her for a while. Perhaps you shouldn't make a decision too quickly. Perhaps you shouldn't phone them yet. You're now going to hear a conversation between Peter and Lena, who are old friends from secondary school. They bump into each other on a bus.
You look great, Lena. How long has it been?
Well, let's see. I guess about 5 years. How have you been?
I'm doing really well, thanks. I've gotten married and have 2 wonderful kids.
That's great. How long have you been married?
4 years. We've just bought a house in the New Territories, in Sai Kung.
And have you been back to see our teacher, Mr. Lee?
No, I haven't. I heard that he's still teaching, though.
I've been to see him twice since leaving. He has been thinking about retiring.
He should. He's taught at that school for over 40 years. So tell me about you.
Well, let's see. I've worked for the same company since finishing university. I've got a degree in economics.
That's great. You were always very smart. Have you traveled much?
Yes, actually, I've just come back from South Africa.
I've seen some brochures of Cape Town. It looks beautiful.
It is. Well, I have to get off here. I've enjoyed our chat, Peter. I hope to see you again soon.
Yes, I've got your number. I'll call you.
In the first dialogue, the focus was on talking about routine and everyday activities. In this dialogue, the focus is on talking about the recent past or on things that happened in the past, but which still have meaning in the present. Let's hear the start of their conversation.
You look great, Lena. How long has it been?
Well, let's see. I guess about 5 years. How have you been?
A great way to begin a conversation is to pay the other person a compliment about their appearance or their dress. Peter says, "You look great, Lena." Listen to some other friendly conversation openers.
"I love your dress, Paula."
"What a nice tie. Where did you get it?" "You've lost so much weight, Kate." "You look very fit, Jim. Have you been going to the gym?"
Peter then asks, "How long has it been?" Here, Peter is asking about how long it has been since they last met each other. Although he doesn't state this, Lena knows exactly what he is asking about. Note that Peter uses the present perfect tense in this question, "How long has it been?" because he is talking about the time between their last meeting and the present. We use the present perfect to talk about actions which began in the past and which still have present significance. Lena responds by asking, "How have you been?" She also uses the present perfect tense because she's asking Peter generally about himself from the time she last met him to the present. "How have you been?" is similar to "How are you?" The difference is, "How have you been?" is asking in a more general sense about the period since they last met each other, and not specifically about the present. Listen again to an exchange from the dialogue. While you listen, note how many times you hear the present perfect tense.
"That's great. How long have you been married?"
4 years. "We've just bought a house in the New Territories, in Sai Kung."
"And have you been back to see our teacher, Mr. Lee?"
"No, I haven't. I heard that he's still teaching, though."
"I've been to see him twice since leaving. He has been thinking about retiring."
"He should. He's taught at that school for over 40 years. So tell me about you."
Lena's first question is, "How long have you been married?" We commonly use the present perfect tense to ask about duration, i.e., how long something has happened for. Let's practice asking about duration. Repeat these sentences after me. How long have you been married? How long have you been working for this company? How long have you been living in Hong Kong? How long have you been studying English? In answer to the question, how long have you been married? Peter says, 4 years. This is a short answer. His long answer would have been, I've been married for 4 years. We'll now practice answering questions about duration. Repeat these sentences. I've been married since 1999. I've been working for the company for 8 years. I've been living in Hong Kong for a couple of years. I've been studying English since I was 6 years old. Peter also says, we've just bought a house in the new territories. He mentions something that he's done a short time ago. Another use of the present perfect is to talk about actions that happened recently or about actions that haven't happened yet. And we often use adverbs like just, recently, yet, and still with the present perfect tense to give a general idea of when an action happened. Note that the adverb is generally placed immediately before the verb. Here are some examples. Repeat these sentences. I've just bought an apartment. We've recently sold our business. He still hasn't booked his flight. She hasn't applied for that job yet. When making small talk, we tend to use a combination of open and closed questions. Open questions usually start with question words like what, when, how long, how much, etc., and elicit longer answers. Closed questions often start with do you, are you, have you, etc., and elicit short answers. A combination of the two types of questions encourages the other person to speak and helps a conversation to flow more smoothly. Lena asks, and have you been back to see our teacher, Mr. Lee? To this closed question, Peter answers, no, I haven't. I've heard that he's still teaching, though. Note that Peter not only gives a short answer, no, I haven't, but also adds a comment, I've heard that he's still teaching, though. If you answer closed questions with a series of short answers, the conversation won't last too long. To allow a conversation to flow, you'll need to add your own comments and to ask questions in return. Let's practice this. Listen to the following closed questions and short answers plus comments. Repeat each sentence after me. Have you seen Paul recently? No, I haven't, but I heard he's doing well. Have you been on holiday this year? Yes, I have. I had a lovely vacation in Thailand. Have you spoken to Jim about the problem? Not yet. I plan to call him this afternoon. Let's look at another example from the dialogue of a closed question and a response.
That's great. You were always very smart. Have you traveled much?
Yes, actually, I've just come back from South Africa.
The closed question is, have you traveled much? This elicits a short answer from Lena. Yes, actually. But she adds a comment. I've just come back from South Africa, to help the flow of the conversation. What did we learn in this lesson? First, we learned about using the present simple tense to talk about routine actions or actions that we do on a regular basis. We also looked at some different ways to describe the frequency of a routine action. Second, we learned about using the present perfect tense to talk about actions which started in the past and which still have present significance, and to talk about recent actions or actions that haven't happened yet. Finally, we discussed an important technique for keeping a conversation going. Using a combination of open and closed questions is a good way of encouraging another person to speak. When responding to a closed question, it's okay to give a short answer, but adding a comment of your own will help to make the conversation more interesting and improve the flow of the conversation.
You can subscribe online at www.workplace-english-training.com.